Lord Jesus, we love your word. And more than that, God, we thank you that your word loves us. God, we submit our lives to you this day and ask you to teach us the things that we ought to know, help us to see the things that we ought to see. And if there's anything here, if there's anybody here that right now, even now, just in the music and in the words so far, their heart is being pulled. Even now, they know they're desperate for you and they've been hiding it for too long. Holy Spirit, this is your place. This ain't ours. May your words be my words. May our thoughts be your thoughts. May our hearts be your hearts. Holy Spirit, seek the saved and save the lost. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
You know, the crazy thing about a Resurrection Sunday celebration is it's kind of the thing that separates the spiritual men from the boys, so to speak. Because you can ride with all the cool stories in the Bible, but when it gets to that whole death and resurrection thing, it gets a little weird. This is what separates the believer's hope from the non-believer's hope not. Because if Christ is not risen, and all we do is study the teachings of a cool dude, maybe somebody who loved God and was peaceful and, I don't know, kind, then we are pathetic. Pathetic. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are to be pitied above all men. Because if our Savior is not risen, then we're dead in our sins right now. So for me, I have great hope today. Today's the day I wake up and I go, wow, he rose from the dead. That's pretty crazy stuff. Kind of, again, that's where you got to strengthen some faith there. I mean, it's faith to come in here and to start your car and hope that your battery works. Is anybody from up north? Northerners?
Go Jersey!
Jersey!
Jersey. Now you know why everybody hates people from Jersey. It's just sad. It's just sad. Sad. You even wanted to be like New York. You even, the first part of your name is even new. Where are you from? New Jersey. What? New Jersey. Which side? South side, central side, north side, north side? Right by the city? Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, where the smog is really on top or a little higher? I hope. Verse 16 says this. It says nothing without my glasses. It's one of the reasons I hope, because the older I get, the weaker I get. Can't see things. Oh, there it is. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Now, if you've not been in our church the last couple of weeks, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his apostles. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who would follow him. And he's trying to, again, separate the men from the boys. And he's telling them, listen, things might not be what you think. I don't know what you were told about being a Christian. I don't know what you were told about following the Lord. But there will be a time where you don't see him. You don't feel him. You don't sense him. You're going to be very much alone. And as you know, being alone is about the worst possible thing you could ever be, especially when you've had that moment with him. If you've had that sense of oneness, that sense of peace, that sense of unity with God, if you've been rescued by God before, what does a Christian look like? You're going in or coming out of a trial, right? It's not the... Happy Easter. Have you seen Mikey? How you doing? Doing great. Alex, how you doing? Good. You all right? More often than not for me, it's this look. Hey, Ryan, you okay? And I'm struggling with my humanity again. I'm struggling, man, because sometimes believing is hard because I feel alone. Oh, is that a little too much honesty for you guys? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get back to the Christianity that's supposed to be. Marcus, how's everything? Great? Great? All right. Me too. No, I don't fight with my wife. My kids are perfect. Because I'm a Christian. Nothing ever goes wrong. I'm losing you. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while. We don't know what he's saying." So here's the honest truth that the apostles had that maybe some of us should employ a little more. It's called honesty. Yo, I have no idea what this guy is talking about. Instead of making believe you know exactly what the Bible says, exactly what the Bible means, exactly what I'm talking about, exactly, to sometimes say, I have no idea. It was the honest truth that Resurrection Sunday put an end to. Well, he's happy. And why not? He doesn't know how horrible the world is. Now, Jesus knew. Oh, I love that first part. First part of 19. Now, Jesus knew. And they desired to ask him. And he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful." Well, that doesn't sound like today's brand of Christianity. You're supposed to be happy. What did Monty Python? This is a happy occasion. Let's not bicker and argue about who killed who. No. You see, the reality of Christianity is that look. I'm hoping. I'm not making believe. I'm hoping. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? You got to fight it sometimes. And then he tries to explain. "Most surely I say to you," verse 21, "a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come." Now, how many of you sisters that have had babies can amen that one? "A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come." I love the way the Lord used birth as an example as to how we're going to be living. "But as soon as she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish." Is that one true? I just remember my wife looking at me and going, "You're never coming near me again." It was funny when it happened. "For joy that a human being has been born into this world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take from you." That's become my favorite verse. "My joy no one can take from me." My wife's name's Joy. Yeah. Guys aren't. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Please, again, give me that little bit of attention. He says, in that day, you're going to feel alone. What day is that? Because here's what happens to some of you. You were invited here by a friend. You were invited here by family. And you were absolutely, positively sure when you got here, you were going to be met by a bunch of church people with smiles on their faces who are going to judge you for not being perfect, judge you because your kids aren't well behaved, judge you because you're just sure that we're going to judge you. And if you came into a church setting or something like that, you're going to burst into flames. How many of you guys said that to yourselves? At least somebody's raising their hand. I'm getting some honesty back here. You found out something when you came to this church. You know, there's an old band named Jane's Addiction. Does anybody remember Jane's Addiction? They had a song called Whores. And in that song, there was a line. Said, I love them whores, man. They don't judge. What can you say when you're a whore? I guess the truth of the matter is, in this life that we're trying to live together, how can we judge somebody else? I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to get some food. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and I've come into the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father. Now his disciples said, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. So what I tried to do today is I tried to employ a little bit of the same thing. No more figurative speaking. Let's not talk about Christianese. Let's not talk about words that most people are supposed to know once they get into church. Let's just talk plainly. Every once in a while, life stinks. Let's talk plainly. Every once in a while, things don't work out the way you were promised they were. Let's talk plainly. Sometimes your spouse does not act like you thought they were supposed to. Your kids don't do what they're supposed to. Let's talk about that for a second. And then when we talk about that, here's what the apostle said. Now you're talking plainly. Now I believe you. Now I believe you. Yeah, now I believe you. Why you believe me now? Because you're shooting it straight with me. I'm so tired of people trying to grease me up to get me into their place, to get me into their church, to get me believe what they want me to believe. I just need God. Not your version of God. I love these apostles. I love this word because it gives me hope. Fills me with hope. Listen to what Jesus answered after they got real. After he got real, they got real. And after they got real, here's what he said to them. And here's where I'm going to finish up what I'm going to say to you. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You know, there was 500 people that saw the Lord Jesus raise from the dead. 500 people in the course of that time, his apostles being 11 of them, because Judas kind of died a little prematurely. In order for them to save their lives, the only thing they ever had to say was, confess that he did not rise from the dead. In order for them to save their own lives, all they had to do was say, he didn't rise from the dead. Every single one of the apostles. Now, guys, I know that in this world, we have this tendency to put enough time in between things. And if we put enough time in between things, it makes like it didn't happen. But let me explain to you. 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus Christ who walked the face of this earth. And he claimed to have risen from the dead. And there was a giant cover-up because he was murdered. He wasn't just killed. And all his apostles, all of his tribe, all of his group had to do was say he didn't rise from the dead, and they would have lived. But every single one of them was killed. Andrew was run through with a sword. Peter was crucified upside down. Some of them were sawn in half. Some of them were boiled in oil. And all they had to do to avoid that is to say he did not rise from the dead. And I'm here to tell you the same thing. I can't deny that he's risen in my heart. My life is too changed. My life is too beautiful and wonderful. And here's the promise now, the hope that I have. In the book of Acts, about 4 pages away from where we just were reading, it says, this same Jesus whom you saw will return again in like manner. So let's not just celebrate today. Let's not just feast like no kings of the past have ever feasted. Let's play, because I'm about to whoop up on some horseshoes and some pork, though, that too. But let's, for you that are saved, rejoice, because no matter what's going on, he has overcome the world. For you that are not saved, I ask you please to contemplate the risen Savior, to contemplate, to think and say yes to the Lord. Feel free to take a Bible or something if you want to check. You have a bunch of guys around here. If you have questions, we want to answer them. I don't want to do any kind of thing to put you on the spot. Our church meets every Wednesday at 7 p.m., every Sunday at 10 a.m. We're right across the street in back of the Walgreens. You're more than welcome to be there. We're there for you. We're there to help you through life. If you have some trouble, we'll give you where the Word of God helps you with it. Other than that, we thank you guys. I look forward to hanging out with you all. God bless you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word and ask you, please, to let your word penetrate the hardness of our hearts. God, those of us that have wounds and those of us that are broken and those of us that are hurting and those of us that need you. God, please, may your word that we just read, you've overcome the world. In this world, we'll have tribulation. Well, we got lots of that, God. Help us to be of good cheer, knowing that you've overcome the world. Help us to believe that in a little while we won't see you, but then we will see you. Help us, God, that those words would penetrate the darkest depths of our heart, shining a bright light. Thank you so much, God, for the servants who would come here and take their time to set all this up. To cook and to clean and to decorate. God, thank you so much for them. God, these people that I get to share my life with. God, thank you so much for them. those who believe in what we do. We love you, Lord Jesus, and pray these things for your glory. Amen.